despite the weather, despite the wind. We thank God for His mercy. We thank God for, you know, shielding us and keeping us even in this weather. We know that God Almighty, who has created this weather, will make it work for us, His elect, in the mighty name of Jesus. It will not work against us in the mighty name of Jesus. It will not allow any sickness of any sort to come into our body, into our system, even in this time of ash weather, in the mighty name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The topic before us tonight, this title, Play Your Part. Play Your Part. And as we all know that we are here for Bible studies and we are here to learn from one another, and as we have prayed that the spirit of wisdom and understanding will be shared abroad amongst us tonight, there won't be any confusion. We will have understanding of the word of God. And the word of God, God will cause revelation of His word unto us tonight. Because what we need tonight, and you know, as we go on, is not only hearing this word, but we want this word to have impact, positive impact in our lives. And I pray that even as we share tonight, that God Almighty will help us, will give us understanding to understand His word and be able to apply it into our various lives so that to yield fruit that we abide in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we please kindly open our Bibles to the book of 1 Kings chapter 18. And I will, or if anyone wants to read, or we can all read together. So I will read one verse, you read the second verse until we get to the last verse. So I want everyone to please open your Bibles to the book of 1 Kings 18, and we will be reading from the verse 40 of it. Amen. Are we all there? If you're not there yet, ask me to wait for you. Okay. Daddy, pray. Even without you telling me, I know I have to wait for you. No, we are all ready together. So are we all there? First King 18. You see, Daddy, I know you now. Yeah, okay. Thank you. So are we all there? Amen. So I will read verse 40. You read verse 41 until we get to 46. Amen. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon, and slew them there. Amen. I can only hear Daddy Lualan and Daddy Prayer's voice. Amen. 42. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. And he said, go off, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. The last verse, 46, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of His word in Jesus' name. So like I said, the topic before us tonight is play your part. Play your part. And our main text, which is taken from 1 Kings 18, from verse 41 to 46, 46 actually is going to be our focus, our verse that we're going to dig deep into. Amen. The Bible says in the book of 1 Kings 18:46, it says, and the hand of the Lord was upon Elijah, and he girded off his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Amen. Now, we all know, or peradventure, let me just go back. This is an account of when, Elijah was asked to go to Ahab after famine, after he pronounced drought and famine in the land. And God told him that, okay, you can go now after 3 years, go now and go tell them that, there's going to be water, everything is going to, come back. And the Bible recorded that Elijah went and, was going to show himself to Ahab. But, when as I was studying this, the Bible recorded in that early part of 1 Kings 18 that what the Lord only told Elijah to do was to actually go and tell Ahab. If we move back to, it says, and it came from verse 1, and it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. So as I was looking at the verse that, okay, the Lord told Elijah to go and show himself to Ahab and tell Ahab that rain is going to come after 3 years. But after that message that was given to Elijah, there was an account of what happened on the Mount Carmel. I'm saying to myself, God did not tell Elijah to do what he did on Mount Carmel. I don't know, maybe for Bible scholars, for as many of us seated there, I don't know if there was an account that was recorded in the Bible that God told Elijah, gather the Baal, gather and let me show. I don't know, did anybody come across, as we are going on, if anybody knows where it is in the Bible and, can share with us. Like I said, this is digging deep for us to learn, to, rub minds. But I don't see that account. The only account I read in that chapter 18 was the fact that God sent Elijah to go show himself to Ahab and tell Ahab that the rain was going to fall. So, but anyway, that's not where we are going to. Elijah went and demonstrated the power of God upon that Mount Carmel. Said, gather all your priests, all your, all the people that you think, know God, all the prince of Baal, all the what, gather them together and let us see. And let us know whose God is alive, whose God is powerful. I want to believe that God must have spoken to Elijah to do that, but actually, scripturally, there's not nowhere to be found in there. But anyway, Elijah gathered all the Baal together. And God showed up and God proved himself. And God, made Ahab to see that of a truth, I am the only God. And the Bible recorded that after all those people were killed, Elijah now delivered the message that he was actually sent to Ahab. And said, okay, go and eat and drink. Rain is going to start. And what did the Bible record? Said Elijah went back to that same place that God demonstrated himself as the Lord of all. Went back on top of Mount Carmel and was praying so that the word, the prophecy that went out would actually come to manifestation. And the Bible recorded that he sent his servant out to go watch. Hey, go see. Do you see any vision or anything that rain is going to come? I've told this guy, let's go and check and see. The servant came, no, there's nothing. I didn't say anything seven times until he saw something. And he said, okay, run and go tell Ahab that you should saddle his donkey and get moving, because soon as this rain is, there's going to be an outpour of rain. And if care is not taken, I want to believe that the rain is going to hinder him getting to where he needs to get to. So as I was reading, I said, why would Elijah give instructions to Ahab to saddle and get ready and so that he can get to Jezreel on time and not consider himself? Because there were, he also has to get to Jezreel too, to partake in that which God wants to do. I'm saying to myself, he has so much confidence. It's like, go and tell him. But I'm wondering that, did he know that God was going to do something miraculous that is going to make him to catch up and outrun, Ahab? But there was nothing in the Bible that says that. He just gave an instruction that let Ahab go ahead. He's like, I will get there before the rain. Go ahead. I know you cannot get there. So you go ahead. And as I was pondering, I said, this man must actually, be confident of the God he serves. Because he knew that there was going to be rain. And he knew that if care is not taken, for every one of us, when rain falls, it is an heavy rain. There's always flooding and there's always so many things that happen when there's rain. Then it disrupts they disrupt the speed that you would take, right? Humanly, when we think of rain, heavy rain and abundance of rain, it disturbs the speed and thereby cause a reduction in the speed that we normally would speed. If we normally would speed 70, it might cause us to drive at 30 or walk at a very slow pace. You understand? Humanly, that's human understanding. So the Bible recorded that Elijah told Ahab to go ahead. Go ahead before the rain starts. And Elijah just saddled. The Bible said he saddled himself up. I'm wondering, I said, okay. How he must have known that I will get there before this rain starts. But he did not say, oh, he could have said, hey, wait, let me join you, as most of us would do. Give me a ride to Jezreel so that we can all get there together and get there on time. But the Bible did not record that. It just recorded that he told Ahab to go. And the Bible recorded that he saddled up himself. And because of the power of God upon him, he outran Ahab and got to the expected end that they were supposed to get to. Brethren, it is important for us to know that we need to know this God that we serve. We need to be confident of this God that we serve. We need to play our part as sons and daughters of God. There shouldn't be any doubt that is the power of God upon me or not upon me. The Bible says that once we give our life to Christ and we confess our sin, the Holy Spirit comes in us, and the Spirit of God bears us witness that we are, that we are really God's son. So we know that the power of God should rest upon us, except if our life inwardly does not correlate with God. So most of the time, if you will agree with me, we doubt the power of God because our inside does not correlate with God. If our inside correlates with God, there's no reason why we should doubt that the power of God is upon us. Even if we don't see miracle right now. The Bible recorded that the Lord's hand was upon Elijah. Elijah recognized, even without not being told, or the prophet coming to him and saying, the power of God is upon him. He recognized that there was this divine thing upon him. And he did not leave everything. Like, he knew that the rain was falling. And he did not say, okay, I know the rain is falling. Okay, God, do what you have to do. The Bible recorded that he girdled himself. What does it mean to girdle himself? In those times, I want to believe that, you know, they were, you know, with the robes and with the, what do you call it? They said those times they were wearing those robes with the rope on the waist to keep the long flowing thing. So according to Bible scholars, they said what Elijah did was that he carried that robe. You know, you can imagine if you are wearing agbada and you want to run. You're going to be clumsy. Okay? You're going to run into something, or you're going to trip and fall, because it's a big rope. So in order for you to run, is either you take off the agbada. You know, I hope we all know what agbada is, a big kaftan or whatever those people wear. So it's either we take off the agbada and run, or else we will run with the agbada and we might fall or trip. So the Bible recorded that Elijah gathered himself, and according to commentary, said he put the cloth and like hanged it, tucked it in, so that he would be ready for the journey ahead. God did not come from heaven to do that for him. He knew that he had to run. He knew that he had to go from point A to point B. But in order for him to get to that point B, he needed to do something, even though he recognized that the power of God was upon him. The power of God is upon all the children of God. But then there is a part that we need to play as sons and daughters of God in order not to frustrate the grace and power of God upon our life. We cannot just sit down and say, yes, the power of God is upon me.
and not do your part. We need to play our part as sons and daughters of God, so that God also will play his part. The Bible recorded that Elijah girded his loin, and then he outran Ahab and got to the destination that he wanted to get to. But then if we need to do better than where we are right now, yes, the grace of God is number one, but we also have to do our own part. What are we doing to be better than who we are or where we are right now? Yes, God answers prayers. Fasting is good. Miracle does happen. But there is a place for us to do our own part. All the miracles that happen in the Bible, look from Genesis to Revelation, there was always something in the hand of the person for God to use before he does the miracle. God is ready to do all things for us, but we also need to do our part. The Bible recorded that the hand of God was upon him, and he knew that he needed to play his own part, which is to girdle and put together his clothes to prevent his clothes from disallowing him for the power of God working in his life. The thing there is that if he had not put those clothes together, what would have happened is that he might have left the clothes and the power of God upon him, yeah? Maybe in the process of God moving him, with the clothes flabbing up and down, could have caught up to something, would have tripped, caused him to fall, caused him a delay to before getting to Jezreel. Even though the Bible did not record that. I'm just using my human knowledge. He knew that he needed to put things in place for him to be able to arrive at the expected end. He wanted to believe that Elijah did this act in order to ease movement. The reason why he gathered, put all those things together was because he needed to move easily, to run without, you know, stumbling, or to run without any hindrances. He needed to put himself together, even recognizing the power of God upon his life. He knew that God was with him, so he was ready to do his part, to allow the power of God to work through him. That's why he told Ahab to go and not to offer, you know, he didn't ask Ahab for a ride. He knew that the power of God to do exploit was upon him, so he was ready to remove every roadblock from his way to get to where he needs to get to. Elijah's preparation did not bring about the result, but the power of God upon his life. But then he was ready and prepared for the power of God to work in him and through him. How prepared are we? Prophecy has gone for glory ahead. How many of us are really prepared for this glory? How are we preparing for this glory? As I was putting down this word this afternoon, it brought me back to way back at home. You know, when the rain falls, I remember when we were growing up at home, when the rain falls, it is only those people that put their bucket outside that will gather water. The people that don't put their water outside will not gather water. It's not that they did not know that rain is going to fall. Even if they knew that, let's just say, okay, they know that rain is falling, but still, their bucket is not out. And it's only those that put their bucket out, preparing to receive water, will gather what will get water. But those that don't put their bucket out will not get anything. The water will just be on the ground in their compound, wasting away. But others will put the bucket out, either to use the water to bath or either to use the water to drink. How prepared are we for the glory ahead? The glory ahead that's been prophesied into this 2019. How prepared are we to receive the glory ahead? Yes, it has been spoken. Yes, it has been prophesied. Yes, we have been. How prepared are we to receive this glory ahead? We need to do our part. See, the thing there is, the thing there is that the glory is already there. Let us not think that God is going to manufacture glory. It's a already settled case from the foundation of earth. But then, we need to play our part. We need to remove all those excess things that can easily hinder us from partaking in that glory that is ahead. We need to girdle our clothes. Girdle, not like physically. I hope you understand that. I'm not talking about our physical clothes. We need to gather ourselves together. Like in terms of our focus. How prepared are we mentally, spiritually? How prepared are we for this glory ahead? How prepared are we? As we journey in this year 2019, let us be prepared. Let us do our own part for God to do His. Let us not just sit and wait for the glory and not get ready to receive the glory. It is important that we plan. It is important that we prepare. If we want to go higher, we need to do something. We cannot just say, yes, the power of God is upon me and expect the power of God to take it to. The power of God is there, but then you have to do your part. I remember when I came into this country and I was a home health aide, yeah. And the first job I had was a private house. Then the woman was moved to a nursing home and eventually stayed in the nursing home. And the nursing home, I also had to go and take care of the woman in the nursing home. And I got there and the supervisor on the floor was just asking me, oh, Tony, instead of doing home health, go, what about CNA? I see you're a good worker. Go to CNA and I'll bring you on board. I said, well, I've done CNA actually, but I've not just sat for my exam. I'm just waiting for the exam date so that I can do the exam and, you know, and get it done with it. Okay, when you pass, just come and see me. I did my exam. I passed. She brought me on board and I got on board. And each time I see those nurses pushing the carts, I looked at them. I looked at myself. I said, what is the difference between me and them? I said, the difference between me and them is that they went back to school and got a degree. And me, I did not go back. That was like a driving force to me. And there was this nurse that was just like a pain in my throat. And it just, you know, I would come there and say, the difference, it's just because these people went to school. They furthered. And that was like a driving force. And I know that God wanted to do something in my life, but I didn't know. But I did not wait to say, okay, I want to get to that place and stay as a CNA and be fasting and be praying without not going to school. I needed to do my part so that God can bring me up. Then God gave me the grace to go back to school. I went back to school. I became a registered nurse. In that same facility, God took me higher and higher and higher. And when people see me and they said, wow, Tony, if only they know where you started from. I said, yes, if only. People that knew me when I was a home health aide and became a CNA, I became a registered nurse, and became a manager. They said, only if people, you challenge us a lot. Brethren, where am I going to? Where I'm going to is that if I remain a CNA, and expect that God will lead me. I'm not saying God cannot lead me up as a CNO. Don't get me wrong. But professional-wise, there is no way I can be where I am if I don't do my part of going back to school. And I knew that the top is where God has for His children. But I have to do my part by going back to school. And God, it wasn't as if the school was easy. But there was grace available for me to go through it. Even with my pregnancy, even with my with the fact I have to, there was grace available. If we are tired of where we are, we cannot keep doing the same thing and expect God's power to yield different things for us. We have to change tactics. If we have been just praying in the morning, maybe you add midnight prayer. If you are just know, managing to read one verse, add three verses, or one chapter. We have to prepare ourselves for the glory. We have to do something. The grace is there. God is not going to manufacture a new grace. The grace is there. The everything that we need for God living is there. It's already available for us. It's just for us to tap into. But then we cannot just sit down and say, because God has, you know, the provision is there, we still need to move. We still need to move. Elijah gilded himself, did what he needed to do. And the power of God made him to outrun even those that were on the chariot. As a church, we need the same people should come in. Yes, we need more members. But how prepared are we? If God should bring 20 members to this church, for example, our follow-up team, how prepared are we to follow up the 20 members? See, God cannot be mocked. He knows our capacity. So he's not going to give unto us more than what we can do. Are we prepared to receive those 20 people? If those 20 people are Spanish, Italian, German, and they speak German, Spanish, how are we going to serve them? Let's ask ourselves the question. How are we going to serve them? Are we going to be speaking the same English when they cannot even understand English? How prepared are we? As we go on in this journey of 2019, we need to understand that Christianity is not abracadabra. Christianity is not magician. Like you say, and you get results. Nah, lie. If they tell you, that is far. Even Jesus himself, when he came on the planet Earth, he had time to be going on the mountain to pray. And each time he goes on the mountain, read every account, each time he comes out of the mountain, come back out, there's always a miracle that follows put. He's the Son of God. Why does he have to do what he... Why does he have to prepare himself in order for all those miracles to happen? It is something that we all have to do. One of my brother here was telling us when we're now choir practice on Saturday. He said, you know, we sing this choir, we sing a lot of songs. We like reproduce the same song over and over and over. He said, we should try and do something new. Yes, I was challenged. Do something new. You will not believe that from that Saturday up until now, people that have not put song before in the choir was up are putting song. If 10 African Americans come there, is it the same Africa? It is a great thing to. If they are good, though, don't get. Please, I'm not saying those songs are not good. But again, we need to be ready to give them the kind of song that they listen to in terms of their American praise. We should be ready to serve them. How prepared are we? As we're talking tonight, I'm talking to myself. So it is important for us to get prepared for this glory that I've been prophesied to be ahead. The Bible even said it. It said it in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 6, 11. It said, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gives increase. We have to do our part. We have to do our part. The widow, Elijah said, go gather drums. And it was that particular number of drums that she gathered that the oil filled. If she had gathered all the drums in the nation, I bet the oil will fill all those drums. But that is how much she was prepared. And she received the level of preparation that she prepared blessing. So we want God to do miraculous things in our life and move us to that place that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. We have to also be prepared. How prepared are we? Everybody wants to be like Daddy Joe. We're saying it over the weekend. How many people can leave their house at 11:30 and walk every day, 11:30 to 6 a.m. or 5:30 or so, walk every day around the camp praying? How many of us are willing to do that? How many of us will go drive fast, like 8 or 10 times a year to even do this one is just the grace of God. And we all, the people that want to be like that, it's you. The man is prepared. That's why the power of God is moving mightily in his life and through him. He did not just sit. I'm the GO of Redeemed Christian Church of God. He did not just sit. He is preparing himself in words, out of season, in season, through fasting, evangelism, and all those things. And God's power is working mightily in him and through him. We need to get rid of the roadblocks. We need to get rid of attitudes and manners that will say, I can't do it. Well, it's not for everybody. This is the only thing I can do. Who says so? Who said you cannot do what others can do? The difference between those people doing it and you not doing it is just the grace. But the grace is available for us, provided we know and we tap into it. Let's play our part in improving our manners and attitude towards God's work. The assignment is given to us. God is watching me and you. In the assignment that he has given to us, either in our place or at our homes, as fathers, as mothers, as daughters, as sons, as husbands and wives, how prepared are we to receive the blessing of a father, the blessing of a mother, the blessing of a wife, the blessing of the role that God has assigned us to? Even in the household of faith, in every department that we are in, we want God to take us high. How prepared are we for God to take us? Yeah, the power of God was upon Samson, but he frustrated the grace. Daddy, no, you're Samson. So let us work on our focus, on our disciplines, on our skills, on our abilities. Let not just limit ourselves. Let us not say, I cannot. There's nothing in the Bible. The Bible says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. All things, not some things. All things. Let's discard everything that may get in the way of what God wants to do for us and through us. God wants to take Elijah across. If Elijah has not gathered himself, I'm sure he would have stumbled. Let us be prepared. What are those associations? What are those friends that are speaking into our lives? Corrupt words. Argument that doesn't make any leeway. That puts us, that even digs us deep into marriage. We argue that God won't yield us anything. The Bible even preached against this. What are those relationships that we are in that is like weighing us down, not allowing us to be prepared so that God can take us to that high level that he can take us to? Because there's no limit to God. That's why Daddy Gio is far up there. Because I want to believe that it's because he daily prepares himself. He daily checks himself. Daily balances his life. Examines it. Let us break away from relationships that will reduce our ability to run. Elijah's speed was made easy by the hand of the Lord. But if he did not tuck in his garment into his girdle, he would have created a roadblock for the hand of the Lord that was upon him. Now, what can happen when you don't prepare? When you don't prepare for advancement, you might be frustrating the grace of God upon your life and end up without any result. That's the sad thing. When we don't prepare, and the power of God is like, and God is saying, only if my daughter and my son would know that I have this much upon him or upon her. What is he doing with that association? What is he doing with that person that is not even adding value? I'm speaking to myself. Instead of watching that soap, Nollywood, God help me. Pick your Bible and read. Pick your Bible and pray.
I'm speaking to myself. God have mercy. God is helping me. Before I can watch, if I want, I can watch till after midnight. And the man of God said, if you don't, at midnight, I went to a prayer, I can't remember. The man said, midnight, if you are awake, or if God wakes you up, and you're not praying, you are wasting your destiny. I said, good God, Father, no more move you. Even before, if I'm awake and it's 12, I just switch it up. I say, Father, another day, God. I begin to pray. God is helping me. God will help us all in Jesus' name. We all know, I'm saying my own now, we all know our weaknesses. We all know our own. Those roadblocks, those things that will not allow the power of God to move in our life and through us. We need to be prepared. God did not girdle up Elijah's loins for him. He put his hand on Elijah, but Elijah made preparation by himself. As you desire God's hand to be upon you, play your own part so that you don't frustrate the hand of the Lord upon your life. I think I've said enough. Contribution. Mommy Osha, I thought you wanted to contribute. But Ashola, you have something to say that you're smiling. Say something. Now, don't play that role that you normally play now. I don't want to mention it, but don't play devil's advocate.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
I was listening to something today, and I just want to chip in that part. The man of God was talking about how important wisdom is and how we equate it to knowledge. And why I brought it up now is that it's one of the things I feel that we need to pay attention to in terms of playing our parts. He said that you cannot equate knowledge to wisdom. So a lot of people are knowledgeable, but they are not wise, because you can only get wisdom from God. But a lot of people, you cannot be wise without being knowledgeable. So the part of the knowledge gathering is your own part. You can't ask God to do something for you in terms of maybe study or being excellent at work, like the example that you gave, without you. Yes, it's good that you should stand out. For example, David had already learned some basic leadership skills while heading the sheep. So when he came to leading the children of Israel, God knew that he is responsible, and he was able to bestow him with the ability to defeat Goliath. It is very important that we all learn the part that we have to play. Yes, faith is good. It's very important for us to have faith. But it's also important for us to understand the part we have to play as human. So God gave us ability to learn, gave us ability to comprehend. So we should pay the right attention to gathering the knowledge that we need. Then God will bless that knowledge with wisdom for exploits. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, sir. My friend.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I think one of the mistakes we tend to make is that we forget our God is a God of principle. You know, we've mentioned this before, I think, many times in so many programs, talking about, you know, some people will ask, why are all these people that are not born again, they're so blessed or something like that? And, you know, it's a matter of following principle. Yes, there's faith, but there's also putting our faith into action. You know, it's not enough to just pray. We must put, like I said, we must put our faith into action. There's things that we need to do. Like the topic says, do your part. You know, we can talk about in the government today. You know, there's we see so many mass shootings, and what is the first thing people say is that our prayers and thoughts are with so-and-so people. But you see, that's one part, but that's not the whole thing. We now have to put our faith into action and do things that prevent these things from happening. So along with that, like the Bible said, faith without works is dead. So many, sorry to say, you know, naive or ignorant Christians believe that all they have to do is sit down and things will come naturally, and that they don't have to work for it. And that's not the case. We have to work for everything. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ has done it for us on the cross. There's that victory, but are we keen into that victory? Are we playing our role? Because God expects us to do things. You know, as awesome and mighty as God is, He expects us to do our part. He will do His part for sure, but it's for us to also do our part. It's not only to just pray, but also, like I said, put our faith in action. We can give an example of, in terms of foods or something like that. Like, if we spend all this time praying, but then we still eat in an unhealthy manner, we are simply deceiving ourselves. You know, it's not just enough to ask God for deliverance from so-and-so thing, but to move ourselves away from things that will put ourselves into bondage. You know, the Bible talks about not going into bondage again, not returning to your vomit. So prayer is good, but action is also important as well. You use another example is Moses. When God told him to stretch forth the rod that the Red Sea would part, if he had just decided to stay there, that, okay, you know what, let's pray, let's have a night vigil, Miriam will take announcements, Aaron will do praise and worship. By the time before they even finish sharing grace, all the Egyptians that are coming to them would have already finished all of them. So I think that's the mistake that people are making now in the ministry, that they just focus so much on prayer, fasting. Those things are good. We're supposed to do those things. But there's also action. We have to move. God called Moses and the children of Israel to move. If they had sat there and did nothing, they would have all been finished. So when God tells you to move, move. Praise the Lord.
And before that, the Lualan contributor, I just want to read from Proverbs 12:24 as we share to also ponder. He said that the Bible says in Proverbs 12:24, it said, "The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under trouble." And in Proverbs 16:3, it says, "Commit thy works." Okay, you have to have, what is, show me your works. "Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established." So that is also buttressing that there's a part that we need to play. Daddy, go ahead, sir.
Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We need to do our own part. Even our Lord Jesus Christ, when he came, when he was on this earth, before his ministry began, the Bible recalls he went through 40 days, you know, fasting day and night, right? And then the Spirit of God took him to the wilderness. Temptation started right there. If you don't prepare, there's tendency for that will not be our portion. For the devil to derail someone. That preparation, that's where we read that, you know, Elijah got up and God what? God is loyal. In other words, he was prepared for what was coming. In this race that we are running, you must be prepared. I think that's why our Father in the Lord mentioned that before you take off, you better settle your landing. Because you are not prepared. I mean, you don't know what is coming in the future. So that preparation must be there. Look at it. You can prepare again. And I think it was Brother Ajibade was talking about wisdom or something. Right?
Yes.
Eh? Yes. If you prepare and you don't use the wisdom of God, with it, it will be fruitless. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. Can you imagine Elijah who called down fire on Mount Carmel, right? And now when Ahab was the first person who started with him, he said, hey, so you are the one troubling Israel. So he replied him there. He said, no, it's you and your family that are troubling Israel. So he went over. See when Jezebel came in, Elijah got derailed. He took off. I mean, with the power of Elijah, at that point, Elijah can look back and say, you and your husband, you will not last tomorrow. And it will happen. But what did he do? He went. He left him. In fact, the angel of God followed him there. Wake up. Your journey is still good. Wake up, eat, drink, get the strength so that you can go forward. After he had, he hid himself in the cave until when the three, signs of wonders came. Fire, what's the other one? The wind, earthquake. He still could not believe what is going on. Then God came. Elijah, what are you doing here? So preparation is good. But then if you don't follow up, see how men of God, powerful men of God, see how they fall. So this is an eye opener. To do our part means to prepare. To constantly prepare so that at least we can, ward off any impending danger. Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yeah, as Daddy Brother Keke contributed, just with something also, I just want to use an example. Thank God for the grace of God upon our prayer department. I remember the prayer department of this church, and I remember where we were before. I thank God for where we are. I know we are not there yet. But the one that God has helped us to accomplish, things that we are doing now, we weren't doing it like 3-4 years ago. But thank God, God has moved us forward with all the prayer and things. And I know that we will get to where God wants us to get to. So we are preparing ourselves because this church is not going to remain like this. But God is preparing us bit by bit so that when there's an explosion of people, we were ready to actually stand as prayer force and pray. Because there's need for the intercessory department to be strong, which God is preparing us for. I can't even believe. I remember when we raised that we need to be meeting at 11:30. And it was like, oh my God, we said we're going to do it once a month or two times a month or something. But God has helped us. We know we are not there yet. But God has helped us to do it almost every Saturday. But we weren't doing that before. But we are trusting that what God has in store for us is the reason why we are able to do this. It's giving us the grace, and we know we're going to do more. So we need to prepare ourselves for that explosion, the expansion that God awaits for us. That is, ahead of us, that God wants us to tap in as a church. And I know we'll get there and we'll pass it in Jesus' name. Amen. But again.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
One thing we need to understand is like from the scripture we read, between the time Elijah sent his servant to tell Ahab that there is rain, between that time and when the rain actually came, there was a process that needed to be accomplished before it happens. Like now, God has already spoken to us regarding the glory ahead. And for each and every one of us to experience the glory, we need to be very, very sensitive at each point in time what God is speaking to us personally if we want to see that glory unfold in different dimensions. And Elijah took time after even telling Ahab what was going to happen. He didn't just stay there. He went and prayed. How did he know God was going to respond if he was not hearing what God was saying to his spirit? You see, and that's one of the things we need to prepare for too. And that's something God is also talking with me about. We need to prepare, how do we gauge and hear the voice of God each time after we had prayed? How do we get that assurance that truly God has answered, that God is doing what he has said, that we have heard so many promises and all that? How are we sure that it is already on the way? So, you see, and that's one of the things we need to prepare. I know God has been speaking to us severally before, but you see, we need to fine-tune it again. Everyday walk with God, as God is unveiling it to us in different dimensions, in our various experiences. So, you see, that is one of the things we need to do in the process of seeing something come to pass. And I believe that God will grant us that grace, and so that when we say something, it's with an assurance because we have heard. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I am not going to repeat all the beautiful contributions that others have made so that we can save time. I just want to had just one more point. Brother Gege again looked again into my notes, but he's forgiven. The Holy Spirit is one. I read a book back home in Nigeria. The title is How to Make the Impossible Possible. What you do to make the impossible possible. The summary of that book is that what we can do, God will not do for us. What we are capable of doing, God is not going to do it. We will have to do what we are capable of doing. Then that which we are not capable of, then God will do it. So we cannot neglect playing our own part. If we need to go to school, God is not going to go to school for us. And even as powerful as faith is, because the Bible says without faith it is impossible to please God, there is still a part to play by us. Matthew 21:21. We'll just read two verses of scripture quickly. Matthew 21:21. It says, Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto the mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. You see, the saying part, Jesus Christ said, if ye shall say, if you have all the faith and you don't say it, if you don't say, sickness, get out of this person, when God is asking you to command it to go, it will not go. Because the saying part is you that will say it. The power to cast that sickness out, that is for God to do. But you have the power to do the saying. So you have to say it. Then God will back up the saying after we have said it. So it's like that in many areas of our lives. Mark 11:23 is still the same scripture. Mark 11:23 says the same thing. It says, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say, the saying part is for us to say. We have to be the one to say it. Say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he said. I pray that as we do our part, God will do his part. In fact, he will never fail if we do our part. The grace to do it, our part, the courage to do it, may God give unto us in the name of Jesus.
Thank you very much, Daddy. I just want to, as Daddy, as we give the phone to Daddy G, the microphone, just remember me, as Daddy was talking, I remember the wall of Jericho. The people of Israel had to round Jericho, okay, 7 times, and shout. It's not that God cannot say, Jericho, wall of Jericho, come down. No, he can't do it. And it wasn't because the shout. It's not the shout that brought down the wall of Jericho. Was it power behind the shout, the power behind the children of Israel. But they had to do their part, which has to be rounding and making a shout for the victory to come. Daddy G.
Thank you very much. Thank you for this at this time. Our God is a God who gives instructions, directive, command. The greatest attribute of Elijah is obedience. Elijah is a man who obeys, when we say total obedience. And it is therefore not surprising so many things that he was able to do. I do not want us to, I'll come back to this quickly. I do not want us to downplay the position of faith. Yes, the Bible says faith without work. But without that faith itself, there is nothing that is going to work. It's only saying add work to your faith. But you must have the faith. Because if you don't have the faith, okay, your approach to even the work may be wrong. But Elijah is a man of faith. I mean, obedience. And so that we can get, because I know you raised one thing when you started, that, you know, whether all the things that Elijah did on Mount Carmel, whether he was actually instructed, he was instructed. In verse 36, he said that you may know. That is 1 Kings 18:36. He say, and of his said, let it be known this day that thou art going, he say, and that I am thy servant, that I have done all this at thy word. At thy word. Everything he did on Mount Carmel was at God's word. Even the altar that he laid, when you read that portion, you will see how somebody can follow specification and instruction. Pour the water. Pour it again. Pour it. Elijah was not doing it just. It was instruction. The beginning of the termination of rain, when he went to Ahab and said, and spoke, that is 17, that is 17:1. And he said that there will be no rain. He also said, at my word, the rain will come. That is the instruction God has given him. And that is why, at the end, he was the one who announced that the rain will come. The only issue here is, and the question we need to, I mean, the thing what we need to learn, lesson here is, how come Elijah didn't consult God when the issue of Jezebel came? Why can't you have consulted God for direction if you are a man who obeys? Sometimes, fear, the spirit of fear is a very terrible thing. It can destabilize anybody. And we must not joke with it. Before you know what's happening, you will have done so many things wrong. I think the greatest thing we need is obedience. Because all that we need to do, God has spelled it out for us. It's in his word. But as you said, are we doing them? Are we obeying? Here, we are gathered here, defiling all sorts of things. We are gathered here because God said we should learn. We should have knowledge of his word. And we know we can't acquire it by just sitting down alone. Yes, when you read your Bible, the Holy Spirit will give you revelation. There's no doubt about that. But when you hear experiences, it's a different thing. Finally, Elijah. And I'm glad you brought this aspect of Elijah guarding his loins. Do you know that Elijah has experienced the Spirit moving him? It is not surprising that he left the way he left. And I just want to give one verse that says this. If we go to 17 verse 12. Remember when Ahab sent somebody to go? No, 17. Huh? Is that? Wait. Joseph, I don't think it's 18. Yeah, it could be 18 verse 12. Wait. Yes, 18, please. 18 verse 12. Thank you. 18 verse 12. He said, and it shall come to pass as soon when this fellow saw Elijah, and Elijah said, go and tell your master, I'm on my way. He said, eh? No way. Not me. He said, because we know you. As soon as you are telling me now, before I turn my back, the Spirit has taken you somewhere else. And you have disappeared. A man who had intimate relationship with God. How can we obey or play our part when probably we are too far from God? And we cannot begin to experience, because experience is the greatest teacher. That's why that the Jew can sacrifice so many things that ordinarily we think is impossible. The man said at that camp, I remember I heard him. He said it. Because I had opportunity to ask him in Jos. Ah, sir, thank God for camp. If we see the yet undeveloped land in that camp, you will marvel. And he has said it, that there's going to be an airport there. How many of us have that kind of spirit to obey? God will help us in Jesus' mighty name. The little that we can do makes a lot of difference. And when we do one little thing, God will give another opportunity. We begin to do bigger thing. We begin to do bigger thing. And that is why you gave that testimony about the prayer warrior. Even though you people are still at the elementary school. Uh-huh. Yes. This year you will go to primary school. And then next year you go to the university. In the name of Jesus.
We rise up. I know our time is fast spent. And I'm believing that I'll be among those that will get the gift at the end of the year. Amen. Shall we rise up? Don't worry, I'm preparing myself to receive the gift. Don't worry. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. As we rise up, let's just begin to thank God for his word that he has opened our eyes to see, to understand. Let's thank God and ask God that God, everything that we need to prepare to partake in the glory that's been prophesied ahead, Father, you help us, oh Lord, to put things in place, oh Lord. Help us to stay focused. Let us not be distracted. Help us, Jesus, Father, so that we can be partaker. We will not hear others' testimonies. We also will give our testimony to the glory and to the praise of the name of the Lord. Father, we thank you. We bless your holy name. We give you all the praise. Be thou exalted, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen.